journey is easy. No friendship is filled only with laughter, but we were excited every day of that journey because we were on a mission to learn and to improve. We believe passionately in the ideas in this book. These ideas are not for those whose ambition in life is to get by or merely to survive. That was never an interest of ours. If you can be satisfied with that, do not read on. But if you want to make a difference, to create a company that builds a future where customers, employees, shareholders, and society win, read on. We are not saying it is easy, but it is worthwhile. Our research confirms that there are no permanently excellent companies, just as there are no permanently excellent industries. As we have found on our own tumbling road, we all, like corporations, do smart things and less than smart things. To improve the quality of our success, we need to study what we did that made a positive difference and understand how to replicate it systematically. That is what we call making smart strategic moves. And we have found that the strategic move that matters centrally is to create blue oceans. Blue ocean strategy challenges companies to break out of the red ocean of bloody competition by creating uncontested market space that makes the competition irrelevant. Instead of dividing up existing and often shrinking demand and benchmarking competitors, blue ocean strategy is about growing demand and breaking away from the competition. This book not only challenges companies, but also shows them how to achieve this. We first introduce a set of analytical tools and frameworks that show you how to systematically act on this challenge. And second, we elaborate the principles that define and separate blue ocean strategy from competition-based strategic thought. Our aim is to make the formulation and execution of blue ocean strategy as systematic and actionable as competing in the red waters of known market space. Only then can companies step up to the challenge of creating blue oceans in a smart and responsible way that is both opportunity-maximizing and risk-minimizing. No company, large or small, incumbent or new entrant, can afford to be a riverboat gambler, and no company should. The contents of this book are based on more than 15 years of research, data stretching back more than 100 years, and a series of Harvard Business Review articles, as well as academic articles on various dimensions of this topic. The ideas, tools, and frameworks presented here have been further tested and refined over the years in corporate practice in Europe, the United States, and Asia. This book builds on and extends this work by providing a narrative arc that draws these ideas together to offer a unified framework. This framework addresses not only the analytic aspects behind the creation of Blue Ocean Strategy, but also the all-important human aspects of how to bring an organization and its people on this journey with a willingness to execute these ideas in action. Here, understanding how to build trust and commitment, as well as an understanding of the importance of intellectual and emotional recognition, are highlighted and brought to the core of strategy. Blue ocean opportunities have been out there. As they have been explored, the market universe has been expanding. This expansion, we believe, is the root of growth. Yet poor understanding exists both in theory and in practice as to how to systematically create and capture blue oceans. We invite you to read this book to learn how you can be a driver of this expansion in the future. Part 1. Blue Ocean Strategy. Chapter 1. Creating Blue Oceans. A one-time accordion player, stilt walker, and fire eater, Guy Laliberté is now CEO of Cirque du Soleil, one of Canada's largest cultural exports. Created in 1984 by a group of street performers, Cirque's productions have been seen by almost 40 million people in 90 cities around the world. In less than 20 years, Cirque du Soleil has achieved a level of revenues that took Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey, the global champion of the circus industry, more than 100 years to attain. What makes this rapid growth all the more remarkable is that it was not achieved in an attractive industry, but rather in a declining industry, in which traditional strategic analysis pointed to limited potential for growth. Supplier power on the part of star performers was strong, so was buyer power. Alternative forms of entertainment, ranging from various kinds of urban live entertainment to sporting events to home entertainment, cast an increasingly long shadow.